That's got it. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house. And I want you to pray for me. I'm making some changes. We're going to have to make some radical changes in the ministry coming months. Now, don't lose it now. And a whole lot of it has got to do with me personally. Some things that I'm going to change. And I was telling Brother Steve and Brother Joel about it today. I'm going to start spending more time in my own personal office. It's going to cost us a higher heat bill in the winter because the only heat that I have in there is when we heat this auditorium. And I can't sit in there with icicles on my ears and nose and study. But I'm going to start spending more time there in the office and just make some little changes in that direction. And I want you to be praying about that. I've got two new books that I've glanced through. One of them's introduction, and the other one I'm getting ready to on tomorrow to delve into it. One of them is on Hosea, and one of them is on Jude. And unless the Lord says nay, I'm going to be preaching through those two books, along with 1 John. And ladies and gentlemen, if you really study, it takes time. Anybody can pop down five words with the same, starting with the same letter, and bring a thought. But if you're going to preach this Bible and teach the truth of this Bible, the longer I serve Him, the more I'm confident that it must be line upon line and precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little. No, Rome wasn't built in a day, and you'll probably not be built in my lifetime. If the Lord doesn't come, someone else will have to stand here and finish the job that I've started. But I want to have a good base for that person. I want to have you far enough along that it'll take it. Some novice can't come in here and trick you and deceive you. It'll take a real man of God to come in here that knows what he's doing to carry the church on. Now, don't leave here and say, Brother Hall's leaving. I don't have any inkling to leave before I'm at least 175. So, and I hope I'll be like Moses, that my eyes will not be dim, neither will my natural force be abated. Amen. All right, let's turn our Bible tonight to 1 John chapter number 2, if you would please. 1 John. And chapter number 2, we're going to read two verses, verse 18 and 19. 1 John chapter number 2, and verse 18 and verse 19. Get your Bibles there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 18, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. I want to pray for just a second. And we get right into the message tonight. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the good song service we've enjoyed. It's been a blessing to me tonight. I thank You for the good fellowship, the good prayer time in the office. Thank You for the good spirit in the hearts of the men and ladies tonight. I pray that You'll bless me and make me a blessing to them. I want to be an encouragement to them, a help. I pray the Holy Spirit would shed light upon what we're preaching on tonight and help our people to get a hold of it firmly, that they might understand more properly about the way, Lord, that life is leading and toward the end times and what things are going to be like in these last days. I pray that You'll give me grace and power, that You'll give me liberty and unction. I pray, Lord, that You'd anoint me with the Spirit of God and bless me that I might be a blessing to Your people. May those that are unregenerate and lost and dead in their sin come to Christ tonight. May Your people rejoice and leave here, Lord, with joy in their hearts and happiness in their soul, being clean and pure and holy as thou art holy. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I'm primarily going to be preaching tonight out of verse number 19. And John says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, I've got a very simple title tonight, but the words in these verses are amazing. And they're very pertinent for the day that you and I are living in today. They were written some 1,900 years ago, plus. And yet they pertain to that which we're seeing going on in America today. Although John is not what we would call a prophet, and yet these are words of prophecy. They're words that were spoken to John that would come to be fulfilled in the last days. You know, he said there in verse number 8, he said that it is the last time, and you have heard that Antichrist shall come. And if you read the Bible, it says a great deal more about the Antichrist than what I think most people are aware of. There's a couple of types, I'm sure, in the Bible of the Antichrist. One of them being Ahithophel, David's counselor, that when his counsel was not accepted by Absalom, that he went out and hanged himself. And then, of course, there's Judas Iscariot that also went out and hanged himself. And I think both of these are types, if not even greater than a type, of the Antichrist. I personally believe that the Antichrist will be these men incarnate. I believe that Judas and Ahithophel are one of the same incarnated. I also believe that the Antichrist will be Ahithophel and Judas incarnated. And the Bible says a great deal. Daniel talks about in great length about the Antichrist, and especially that 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, when the Antichrist should come on the scene and be made manifest to the world. And he is coming. He's coming on the scene to be made manifest to the world. And in fact, in the book of the Revelation, it speaks about the Antichrist coming in and for 3.5 years will establish a covenant of peace with the nation of Israel. But that peace will be turned into chaos when he'll set himself up in the temple as king, as Lord, as God, and will demand that the Jews fall down and worship him. And then shall come to pass what Daniel considered the abomination of desolation. And this Antichrist will be a man of great sin, contrary to everything that you and I believe in. He has been the arch enemy of God all down through the ages and will be empowered by Satan himself. And he's coming in. And the last 3.5 years of that tribulation will be a time of Jacob's trouble. It'll be a time when Jacob, when the children of Israel are chastened very sternly by the Lord in order to turn their hearts back to God, that when he that comes on that white horse may be recognized truly as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he makes his return, they'll ask him, where did you receive these wounds in your chest, your hands? And he'll say, I received them in the house of my friend. And no doubt that'll tell them immediately that the Lord Jesus that they crucified is without a doubt the Son of God. But the Antichrist will not be revealed. That son of perdition will not be revealed until he that letteth is taken out of the way. He that letteth is the Holy Spirit. He is the one that is preventing the Antichrist from controlling the world right now. You can thank God that you're indwelt by the Spirit of God. It is the Holy Ghost within you that defends you from all attacks of the Antichrist. And he's coming into the world. He truly is. As a matter of fact, I personally believe that he's already somewhere in the world, standing in the shadows. He's a very evil man. The Bible said that he'll have no desire of women. Leads me to believe that he possibly could be a Sodomite. I don't know. A lot of men believe that he'll be a Syrian Jew. I don't know about that. I tend to believe that myself, but I don't have any concrete evidence of that. But one thing I do know is I believe the Bible. And the Bible says here in our text that that Antichrist shall come into the world, or he shall come. But John goes on to say, even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, in these words of John, the days of the Antichrist had already begun to manifest itself. Already began. He says these words that tell us that. He said, they went out from us, and I'll say more about that in just a moment. They went out from us, but they were not of us. That tells me that John, and I'll say more about this in a minute, that John possibly knew some of these antichrists that went out from them. He didn't say they'll go out from you. He said they went out from us. In other words, the people he's writing here to probably knew some of these antichrists that he is referring to. Brother Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 5, he said these antichrists have a form of godliness, and they do. There's a lot of televangelists today. There's a lot of radio evangelists today. There's a lot of preachers today that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Now somebody said, what does it mean, the power thereof? The power to make men godly. That's what it's got to be talking about. They deny that power. But I'm telling you that the power of God not only has, but will, in fact, make unholy men holy. It will. There is a power that can make ungodly men godly. But there are those that have a form of that godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And he goes on to say that these men, that they're ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. I mean, there's a fellow that aggravates Brother Steve absolutely to death here in Madisonville. He calls in two or three times a day. He's known by the church as the Streak. And he calls in several times a day and asks the most stupid questions that you could possibly ask about the Bible. And he seems to be one that wants to learn, but I'm afraid that he is ever learning and ever able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, I don't know if I can understand that verse of Scripture or not, that there are those that are ever proceeding in the depths of the Scriptures, but they'll never really come to a full knowledge of the truth. That is, to a saving grace of the Son of God. They're antichrist. And they will begin to propagate their false doctrine and will lead away silly women laden with divers lust, and will deceive them and lead them into error. May I say that is the main goal of the antichrist. To get people out of the house of God and to lead them into error. To get them away from the truth and to lead them into error. And he'll do that. He'll absolutely will do that. He goes on to say, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He said, they are men of corrupt minds. Brother Nolan must have wrote this passage of Scripture. He said, they are reprobate concerning the truth. And I'm telling you, a man with a reprobate mind will never be saved. I don't care who he is. If God ever turns a man over to a reprobate mind, he is bound for a lake of fire. He is going to hell. There's no ifs or ands about it. He is going to hell without any hope of ever being saved and going to heaven. And there are men that pursue false doctrines and pursue error in the Bible and pursue their own opinions until God finally cuts them off and they become reprobate concerning the truth. Now, I know there's a lot of folks that think the only people be reprobates are sodomites, but that's not so. There are sinful sodomites. There are also those that I would classify, if I can use it this manner, spiritual reprobates. And I don't say that to mean they're spiritual, but they're pursuing spiritual interests. They're lost. They're without God. They're not sodomites. They're in church. They're under preaching. They're studying the Bible. They're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And God said they're antichrist and they're reprobate concerning the truth. And he went on to say, from such, turn away. Get away from that crowd. Stay away from that crowd. And let them know. And be wise enough to discern who they are by the doctrine that they preach. Amen. Come on in the house now. Help Brother Hall out just a little bit. In 1 Timothy 4:1, the Bible said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." I want to ask you a question and don't answer it. When did they give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils? Not while they were in the house of God. They give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils after they had departed from the faith. Amen. They're what the Bible calls apostates. A man that takes a different position in that Bible that is erroneous, a different position that he once took, is an apostate. I say this without any hesitation at all, that I'm afraid men like Billy Graham are apostates. Amen. Billy Graham for years packed them out and preached the gospel and appeared to be right down the line, but I'm telling you, in his latter years, God proved to America, if America's got any sense at all and any spirituality at all, exactly what this man is. He is an apostate because he stands apart from the truth that he used to proclaim. You better be careful of a man that begins to stray from how he used to preach. You may be listening to an apostate. But they didn't give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils until they had departed from the faith. And boy, there's out there. And they will, hey, I'm going to tell you, they will prey on unlearned people. They'll prey on carnally minded people. They'll prey on those that are weak in the faith. They'll prey on those that have professed Christ but never been saved. And they'll get them to gather a little following. Amen. Come on now. And lead them in there and turn them into apostate just like they are. Now, I'm getting ready to preach my text, so don't nobody leave me. Imposters, heretics were rising up. Antichrist had already began to show himself in false teachers and seducers who were his forerunners. Has it ever occurred to you that Christ had a forerunner? His name was John the Baptist. Is it any marvel that Satan himself would have a forerunner to his man? Maybe one main forerunner, but certainly many antichrists are forerunners to the true Antichrist. They carry the same motive, the same doctrine, the same error, the same sin, the same ungodliness. They're just little antichrists that are forerunners to one that is coming who is the big antichrist. Amen. That will, eventually go out to deceive the whole world and convince them to fall down and worship Him as though He is God Himself. And by the way, that is devilish. That is influenced by the devil. That's what the devil's wanted all along, is for humanity to worship Him rather than God. You'd be surprised at the people that have sold their soul to the devil for a little notoriety, a little power, and a little prestige. Amen. Come on in the house, folks. Won't hurt you none there. It was therefore necessary for the apostle to make reference to a very great evil which had broken out among some of the congregation of the saints, for these apostates had been former members among them and had enjoyed fellowship with them. That's what I said a moment ago. They went out from us. They used to be a part of us, but they went out from us, that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. You know, and here's what bothers me. It may have been, some of them may have been relatives of John. Some of them may have been relative to the people he's writing to. Some of them may have been bosom buddies and friends of the people he was writing to. That's why he said they went out from us. Now I'm telling you, I believe the Bible to every jot and every tittle. And buddy, when it said us, it is speaking in the present tense form in that day. John said, I was alive, well, and kicking when they went out of here. And no doubt they were relatives, are friends of those that remain behind. Now I'm telling you, the biggest temptation people have is to follow that crowd and go after that crowd, not because they're spiritual and have the truth, but because that blood is thicker than water. Amen. I'm telling you, what you better cleave to is truth. Amen. I don't care who stands against it, if your mama stands against it. Stay with truth.
Amen.
The truth will make you free.
Amen.
But that crowd will lead you right back into bondage.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what Paul said in the book of Hebrews. He said, if you were once enlightened, I won't quote it, I can't. If you were once enlightened, tasted of the heavenly gift, been made partakers of that heavenly gift, if you shall fall away, that it shall be impossible to renew you again to repentance. And I'll use this word for clarity, unless you crucify the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame, and He's not dying the second time. Now, I'm preaching what I'm preaching tonight to encourage you, I hope, to give you some insight into Antichrist and those that are all, and I'm going to be honest, I've gone to some of these meetings and some of these Baptist preachers get up and name some of these guys I never heard of. They talk about a guy named Rick Warren. I don't know who Rick Warren is. Preacher mentioned a guy down there last night. I didn't know who he was, from Adam's Polecat. I don't really give a flip who they are. But I can tell you, these big mega churches that's flying up all over the country fall right in line with the last days. Those antichrists will draw big crowds. If he is someday going to lead the whole world after him, tell me that these false teachers and seducers and little antichrists cannot draw people away today. You better believe they can. Amen. That's right. Now stay right with me. The opening word in verse number 19 says they. And in that verse, it at once makes it apparent that it is closely related to the preceding verse. For the word they is a direct reference to the many antichrists. We know there are many antichrists that are already in the world. They went out from us, but they were not of us. They went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Amen. Now I'm telling you, that crowd that departs, they're not of us. I don't care how much we may love them, how much we may care about them. If they are hearing the truth and depart from the truth, they are not of us. Once you hear the truth, you'll embrace the truth and you'll love truth and stand for the truth and stand in truth as well. Amen. Now, there's many antichrists. Now, these first words, I've entitled this little message, Words of Great Value. Amen. And I make the application now. I think I've done all I can do as far as interpreting the text. But the application, what are these words of value? May I say, number one, that they're great words of wit? Or they're great words of wisdom? Has it ever occurred to you that our Lord has probably been dead 60 years? John is not a novice. John is not a young man. John is an aged man. John has been around long enough to see a few things. He's got gray hair in his temples. He's probably seen more in his day than any of the apostles ever seen. He outlived all of them. And he probably saw more than any of them before him. And he's a man of great wisdom. And I'm telling you, what he's writing down here is not just something to take up space on a piece of paper and canonize it and God say it's called the Bible. He is writing down here words of truth and righteousness and verity, words of warning and words of wisdom to you and I today.
Amen.
That we should not get caught up in them. Is anybody listening to me? Now, they're words of wisdom. Well, why are they words of wisdom? I think, number one, because He don't want you to be shaken in mind.
Amen.
I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if you look out at the world today and what's going on in Christianity, your mind, you may get all shook up, buddy. Your mind may be shaken about what's going on. If I hadn't read the Bible, I'd be in great concern about what I'm seeing taking place in the world today. Never in my life have I seen so much sin and people that want to play with sin rather than shun sin, stay away from sin. People that are unfaithful to the house of God, unfaithful to the Word of God. Now I'm telling you, that crowd, some of these days, if they don't turn from where the direction they're going, they're going to be shaken in mind and be full of bewilderment and chaos and confusion in the last days.
Amen.
Don't be shaken in mind. And here's the reason. It is when the heart departs from its anchor that it is liable to be tossed about by every slight of men and every wind of doctrine. I'm telling you, better have your mind anchored. The preacher down there, did he not preach on the mind last night, Brother Joel, a little while? And he talked. You know what? He said one of the marks of sin is insanity. He said, sin will drive you insane. It'll make you do things you normally wouldn't do. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, that's just something that he made up to sound good in a Bible, in a message. Is that right? What do you think about these women that are killing their own babies? They have let sin drive them crazy. They're insane. What about these men that are mutilating these women and raping these women, and about these idiots going in schools and killing anywhere from 5 to 30-some people at a time? I'm telling you what's wrong with them. They have played with sin, amen. And rather than shun sin, amen, somebody say amen. Sin is driving their minds insane. They're crazy. That's exactly right. They're crazy, buddy.
Amen.
Amen. You better have your mind anchored and have an understanding of what is going on in the last days. You better read that Bible. You're not going to change that Bible. I don't care how hard preachers try and how much they preach. We're not going to change the Bible. And the ungodly man and seducers will wax worse and worse in this world. And if, buddy, if you're not anchored in truth, your mind will get all shook up. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you ain't thinking straight, you can't make rash decisions. When you ain't thinking straight, you're going to make some foolish judgments in life. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Yes, sir. You better be anchored. I'm glad my anchor holds. We sang that song in times like these. We need an anchor. I'm glad, thank God, I've got an anchor behind the veil. But I've also got an anchor upon this earth. In fact, I've got two of them. I've got the Holy Ghost as an anchor to my soul. And the Bible is an anchor to my life. Amen. And Christ is an anchor to my security. Thank God that I'm anchored. And I don't have to be carried about with every wind of doctrine. I've studied the Bible. I know what's going on in the last days. Buddy, they're on us. And people are panicking. Preachers are panicking. They're wondering why their crowds are getting smaller. They'd read their Bibles, they'd know why. Preachers are resigning their ministries and leaving because people are leaving the church. And they think there's a big problem going on in the church or a big problem going on with them, and they don't realize it is no more than the signs of the times. God is fulfilling that Bible. And mark her down, God will fulfill that Bible. And what God says in that Bible will come to pass, and you and me ain't going to change it one bit. That's right. I'll admit it's enough to drive a preacher crazy if he's not anchored. His mind is not anchored. Don't let that mind be prone to wander. Seal it, settle it, secure it. Keep your focus on Christ. Set your affection on things above. Amen.
Amen.
Let God take care of it.
Amen.
We think we can help God out. You can't help Him out that much.
Amen.
Might as well say amen right there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, Joshua called the sun to stand still. You ain't Joshua, Buckwheat. Amen. Now, anchored. And then when the soul is not at rest, the mind cannot be. When our soul, Christ come to give us rest.
Amen.
And if we've got rest, we're content.
Amen.
We're settled. We're satisfied. We're at rest in Christ.
Amen.
Why don't we just swear back in the everlasting arms of God and rest in what God is doing and realize that God's still on the throne and He's going to provide and take care of His own. I wouldn't care what happens on the earth. We don't belong to the world. We belong to God.
Amen.
Amen. God's going to take care of His own. Ain't anybody in here missed a meal lately, have they? Praise God.
Amen.
God take care of us.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, what are you going to do if Barack Obama gets to be president? I'm going to arm to the hilt. That's all right, Brother Jerome. Amen. Son, tell him what happened. He's never brought one bill into Congress, into the Senate. He's never introduced one bill. He's got a rating of conservative rating of zero. He's a goose egg. He's a big fat goose egg. And America's gone crazy over nobody. But somebody said, I'm real worried about that. I'm not at all worried about it. God sets up one and sets down another. And if God wants to set up Obama, let him set up Obama. If he wants to set up Hillary, so be it. I'll do all I can in vote to prevent it, but I'm telling you, if it happens, I'm not going to bury my head in the ground and worry myself into an ulcer about it. That's right. Amen. One thing about it, if Hillary gets in, she'll help Brother Ricky back there. She owns about half of Walmart. She might do that, Leroy. If a mind is not anchored and a soul is not at rest, instead of being at rest and anchored, it is ever seeking some fresh object to afford it satisfaction. Always looking for something new. You ever been around anybody? Somebody comes to church and they're always looking for something new. I'm afraid that's what's wrong with Baptists today. We need something new to happen. We need to rearrange our schedule. We can change some things. My Bible tells me not to be given to them, not to meddle with them that are given to change. Oh, we need to change our format. We need to change our program. We need to change this. No, I'll tell you what we need to do is get right with God. Amen, Brother Hall. Hallelujah. That's right. That's one for Brother Hall. Amen. People are not resting, and people that are not stable, they're always looking for something else to satisfy. And if they cannot, why do you think people are leaving Baptist churches and going to charismatic churches? They like what they see in there that they call excitement. Feel. 15 or 20 women up at the same time, what they call speaking in tongues. And there ain't nobody in there knows what they're saying because they ain't saying nothing. But they're looking for something. Looking for something new, but I'm telling you, we can find a new in the old book. Get a new look from the old book. Get a new look from the Bible. Exactly right. You want to get a new look on life, that Bible's the most up-to-date book in the world. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to prove this to you. Everybody looking for a new opinion, we need to get back to the old paths. Now listen very carefully. When their anchor the mind don't hold, they're not at rest in their spirit, they're looking for something fresh, they become unstable, looking for some new opinion. I'm going to prove that to you. What about King Saul? He put every wizard, every witch and wizard out of the land. But when the Philistines come up against him, and he prayed to God and God wouldn't answer him. He called for the ark and God wouldn't answer him. He turned to his counselors and said, go find me a woman with a familiar spirit. Amen. I'll try something new. If God don't do what I want God to do, when I want God to do it, I'll find another alternative to it. And that's where a lot of Baptists are living today. There are no other alternatives but the will of God. And I'm telling you, we're in the will of God the way things are today. We better learn to rejoice in the hard times we're living in because they ain't going to get no better out there. Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. Now, note this. A tender conscience. Somebody's tender in their conscience. They're slow and cautious in receiving the truth.
prove what the preacher preaches of the Bible.
Amen.
Don't jump on every bounty. Have you ever been around somebody? And they hear of something, don't even have anything to do with the Bible. And they, I'll just put it like this. You ever heard of anybody that always leaps before they look? It's exactly what I'm preaching. They leap before they look. Saul leaped without ever giving consideration to the fact that he had already put all those with familiar spirits and wizards out of the land and threatened to kill anybody that had a familiar spirit. And yet he run down there 2-1. Now, a tender conscience is slow and cautious. Does the Bible not say, try the spirits? Don't believe everything everybody says.
Amen.
I mean, you can believe it, but with caution, until you prove it right or wrong. Amen. A tender conscience examines carefully and weighs prayerfully whatever is pressed to its mind. That's right. Carefully and prayerfully whatever is pressed upon its mind. But when a preacher comes here and we've never heard him before, some of you folks jump on the bandwagon immediately. Weigh it out! Prove it by the book. Make sure he's right.
Amen.
Which one of the churches was it said you've tried and found those that said to be apostles and proved them to be liars? Church at Ephesus, I believe. That's what we need to do, and I'm trying to hurry.
Amen.
Once a tender conscience has received the truth and is assured of it, it will embrace it and hold it firmly. I'm just telling you, truth is like your sweetheart. Once you embrace her, you ain't going to turn it loose. I've heard preachers say, I don't know much, but what I know, I know. And what I know, you can't budge me on it. And there's some things that I have tried and proved by the Spirit of God and by that Word that I know.
Amen.
How do you think Paul could say, I know whom I believe?
Amen.
He had proved him, tested him, tried him. Jesus had delivered him from troubles and trials and temptations and delivered him from perils of robbers and from perils in waters and perils in the wickedness and perils of his own countrymen.
Amen.
Over and over again, God had delivered him.
Amen.
That's why he could say, I know whom I believed and I'm persuaded.
Amen.
Now, leave that phone at home. Turn it off or something. A conscience that has been seared with a hot iron and put to sleep, there is no waiting on God. You've read about where it says some conscience have been seared with a hot iron. They don't wait on God. They don't wait on God for light. But they're independent of their own mind. And they depend on their own mind. They lean to their own understanding. And they finally fall into error. And I'm telling you, a man that leans to his own understanding in these days we're living in will turn out, they'll go out from us. Because they are not of us. They'll go out that they might be made manifest.
Amen.
I used to try to chase them until I read in Matthew 15 where the Lord said, let them alone! I said, yes, Lord, I believe I will. I'm going to run my wheels off trying to run down a bunch of heathens that don't want to come to church.
Amen.
That looks for every excuse in the book. And they'll find an excuse to justify why they ought to leave a church. May I say, many of them have headed in the dilemma, and some of it is catching up with them years down the road. I could tell you something right now that happened today, but I won't. Saddening news. Very sad. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Let reality strengthen your faith. Realize you're living in these times and let it strengthen your faith and make a believer out of you. I've got to hurry. Don't be perplexed and staggered by what you're witnessing in the world. Because God's Word is simply being fulfilled. God's will is being accomplished. As these antichrists draw away disciples after them, worship is corrupted and the unity of faith is disrupted. But let none of these things trouble you because the Lord has said they'll come to pass.
Amen.
They're coming. They're coming. I'm going to say number two, not only words of wisdom, words of warning. This won't take long on this. Words of warning. Somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean words of warning?" Well, he said they went out from us, but they were not of us. He said, don't follow them. Don't follow them because they're not of us. They got a different stripe about them. A different spirit about them. They're not of us. Somebody said, "Preacher, what can we do? What can we do to prepare ourselves?" Number one, you can safeguard your heart.
Amen.
Oh, I'm telling you, Brother Paul gives a warning in Hebrews 3:12 when he said, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Oh, my. Take heed, brethren. He called them brethren. I believe he called them brethren because he was talking to Jews and they considered the Jews brethren. "Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." You better be careful. I'm telling you, you better be careful when you walk away from God. It may be your last chance. Some folks have walked out that door. I'm satisfied. They've walked out that door, and the minute their foot crossed the threshold, God sealed them to hell. Say, "Preacher, you're just saying that." No, I'm not just saying that. A departure from the truth with a critical, mean, deliberate attitude and spirit and a heart of rebellion to overthrow the authority God's put in a place, that man or that woman may very well seal their soul to hell when they walk out that door. Somebody said, "You're hard." No, I'm truthful. And truth is not hard. I've tried to maintain myself tonight and preach to you in a sensible tone and attitude. The best of my ability. I've not jumped the pews. I want you to learn. I want you to know. I want you to understand that you need to stand fast in the Lord in these last days. We're there, church. We're in the last hour. We're there. Surely you can watch with Him for one more hour. Surely you can stand fast for one more hour. Surely you can stay in the truth for one more hour. Safeguard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 said, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You better guard that thing called the heart, whatever. Now, I don't necessarily think it's that organ in there that pumps blood. But you better safeguard it. Because out of it, you're thinking. Your rationality. Out of that proceed the issues of life. And you better guard it. Not only safeguard your heart, but stand fast in the doctrine you've learned. I've not taught you everything you need to know, but I've taught you what I know and what the best I can. You better learn to stand fast in it. I'm going to tell you what Paul told Timothy. He said, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them." That is, in the doctrine you've heard and learned, you better follow it. There's Arminianism today that'll tell you you can lose your salvation, try to make you believe it. There are hyper Calvinists today that try to lead you into fatalism and make you believe it. There are people today that would like to change words in the Bible and make you believe that the Bible don't just exactly say exactly what it says.
Amen.
I'm amazed today at how few churches there are that use a King James Bible.
Amen.
Brother Moody called me yesterday, day before yesterday. Had to cry on my shoulder a little bit. He's out of the church. He's got a right to do that. I'm his pastor. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I got a good couple. It's elderly," and said, "they're going to Hot Springs. They got family down there." He said, "they're here on Sunday morning. They go down there and spend a week." He said, "they're looking for a church." And he said he went to this one church and said, went in, sat down, and said the preacher got up to preach, and he opened and he read from an NIV Bible. He said, "we didn't go back." He said, the next Sunday, he said, we drove around and looked. He said, I told my wife, I said, I found a little Southern Baptist church out here in the country. He said, let's just go out there Sunday night and see what it's like. She said, we'll give it a try. He said, they sitting there in the parking lot, nobody showed up. He said, finally a car pulled up. The door opened and out of it got a person dressed in men's apparel with a ponytail rolled around, around, around on her head and a pocketbook on her arm. There's a sodomite church. Had Baptist on the name of it. I'm telling you, folks. And there'll be people, there were probably people that came in there that night. And they're teaching and preaching that sodomites, professing, practicing sodomites, can be saved. I don't mean to sound off color, but I saw a little thing on the internet in there the other day. I plugged on it. It was a pastor that encouraging his people. Now, here's what he encouraged them to do. He encouraged all the single couples in his church to abstain from sex for 30 days. Single couples. And encouraged all the married people to have sex every day for 30 days. Tell me what kind of a man that is that would tell single people to abstain from sex for 30 days. I'd tell them either get out or get married.
Amen.
Apostates. They went out from us, but they were not of us. They went out that it may be made manifest that they were not all of us. God, I say, let that kind go and let them stay gone. I sure say, God don't want them around me, buddy.
Amen.
And not only safeguard your heart, stand fast in the doctrine you've learned, but stick to His testimony. I've never forgotten Harold Sotler preached on this one day. Psalm 119:31, David said, I have stuck under Thy testimony.
Amen.
I remember that morning I got up, them stinking flying squirrels got in my house. I walked out there in the kitchen, there was that little dude in that green bait bat, and he was up. I tried my best to talk to him and tell him to stay out. He left me with no choice but to trap him. But he got stuck! And Elizabeth accused me of being cruel to animals. He couldn't get loose. That's what the psalmist is saying there. Get in that book until it gets stuck on you and you can't get away from it.
Amen.
Stick to its testimonies. Stand fast in doctrine. Amen.
Amen.
Safeguard your heart. Words of warning. They went out from us. They were not of us. Then these are not only words of wisdom and words of warning, but they're words to the weak. Those that are easily taken by heresy. And there's many people that's never studied, never read their Bible, and they don't pay a bit of attention in church, and never follow along in their Bible in church, and never open their Bible in church, and never read their Bible at home.
Amen.
Jeremiah said, "Hearken not to the words of the prophets, for they prophesy a lie in my name." Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, beware of false prophets. We had one that come in here, sat over on this side of the church, him and his wife, an older couple. Brother Mike Moody come in to preach, and Mike did not know one thing about that man, and I didn't suspect much of him. But Mike got up and preached that night on standing behind your pastor, not letting wolves come into the church and destroy the church, this and that. And that man cornered me up after the service. Said, you told that man everything to preach tonight. I said, sir, I didn't tell that man nothing. You think I'm a wolf. I said, you said it, not me. And he's made the round in the churches. He went over to my son-in-law and wanted my son-in-law to ordain him and risk and let him come out of that church to go somewhere and talk to church. And my son-in-law called me and said, what do you think about that? I said, I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm going to say, you better put a sign on your front door, so-and-so not allowed beyond this point. That's right. They'll tear up a church in a minute. You got to be careful of them. And you may think this don't amount to nothing. But I'm telling you, the people in here tonight that may be on the brink of getting saved and some that are still lost, it may be the difference between you enjoying heaven for eternity and frying in hell for all eternity.
Amen.
That's right. Because I'm telling you, get a hold of this. Once you go out, it's almost an utter impossibility to come back. They went out from us.
Amen.
Because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt remain with us, continued with us, but they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Let's stand together.